Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis, please. 28th chapter of the book of Genesis. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll begin our reading at verse number 1, chapter 28 of the book of Genesis. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God mightily bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac went away, Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. We'll pick up our reading in verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow. And he lay down in that place to sleep, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was named Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, for this portion of Scripture that we've been able to read this morning together. I thank you, Father, for it. Now this preacher needs your power, your wisdom. Lord, I need many things from you this day, and you know all about them, and I ask you for them. I ask you to help me. And then, Lord, we as a people need your help. I pray for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, God, that we'll just serve you always and be the kind of people we ought to be and love you and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so once again today, Lord, that'll be part of this, of our growth today as we learn from your word. And so I just ask you to help us do that in each heart that needs to be done today, Father, I pray. And then, Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In Jesus' lovely, wonderful, precious name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jacob was going to Padan Aram. That was where Laban, his mother's brother, lived. It was the household of her father, Bethuel. And he was sent there basically by Rebekah. And of course, Isaac got in on it. But Rebekah decided it'd be a good thing if he took off and got out of there. There was a reason for that. He was going there for two basic reasons. One of the reasons was he was going after a wife and find a wife for himself, which he did. He found Rachel. And of course, Leah also, and some other ones. But anyway, that wasn't, he was going after a wife. But the second reason he was going was because that Esau had said he was going to kill him. And so it was probably a good idea for him to get out of there. Esau was very, very aggravated at him, mad at him. And because he had stole his birthright, first of all, he'd taken his birthright, and then the blessing that Esau was supposed to receive. And so he told him, he told, let it be known, and Rebecca heard about it, and told him he better get out of there because Esau was going to kill him. So that's the reason he was leaving where he was at. Let me just say to you, it's a good thing. This has nothing to do with the message basically today. But let me say to you, it's good to keep good relations between brothers and sisters and families. It's a good thing. I'm not preaching on that, but let me say to you, do everything you can to keep good relationships between your brothers, your sisters, your family. I know it's not always possible. The Bible always talks about the division that Christ will bring into people's lives. I know that side of it too. I know that's right. That's the way it is, and Jesus said that would happen. But at the best of your ability, you all do everything you can to keep a good relation with your brothers and with your sisters, with the families, with your moms and dads and all of that. Keep a good, sweet relationship with them. It's right, it's proper, and you'll never be sorry for it. Down the road, you'll always be glad that you did that, you see. Because a lot of times, I've been in a situation where I've had to pastor people and that has had problems and troubles with family, and then one of them will die and pass away, and then the guilt of that falls upon that person who is remaining and is there, and then there's no way to ever straighten it out. Okay, so I'm just saying that to you. Do everything you can to have good sweet relationships. But anyway, the first night out as he left here for Bathsheba, you find that in verse number 10 and 11, he dreamed a dream, and on down into the scriptures, he named the place Bethel. Now I know that you know probably what Bethel means. Bethel means the house. House, Beth means house, and El means God. So it's the house of God. And he named it the house of God. He said, surely God is in this place. And he named it and gave it a very special name. He called it the house of God. Well, this place became very sacred to Jacob over his life. And I look back and I think probably something to maybe when we got saved. I'll talk about that in a few moments. But when we got saved, that becomes a very special time in our life. You kind of ought to be able, you know, Jacob came back to Bethel. And it was a very important place in his life. I think it's good to go back to the time you got saved. Even right now, and even in your mind, can you go back to that place where you was at and what happened and how you come to know Christ as your Savior? See, that's a good thing to kind of, it's a special time. You may not think about that every day. But as life goes on, it's a great thing to just kind of go back and remember when you got saved. Amen. And think about that. And it's even good to return there sometime. And if you can't do anything else, drive by the place or whatever you might be able to do. And just kind of go by and say, you know, this is the place that I got saved at. I think also it could be recognized as a place maybe where we gave our all to God at. We said, Lord, you know, you can have all of me. You can just have my whole life. You can do with me whatever you want. That's a special place too. And I can go back to Rock Run Baptist Church and I could take you within 3 or 4 feet in there of where I knelt and prayed and asked God to save my soul. I can take you to Brazil, Indiana, outside the place we owned there, and show you out in the yard there, probably within 10 foot, probably of where I was standing when I cried out to God and asked God what it was he wanted of me. And I did. I cried out to him because he had been bothering me a lot. And he wouldn't leave me alone. So finally I got out there that night and I just looked up to heaven and I said, God, what do you want? And I did not hear anything back at that time, but within 2 or 3 weeks, God opened up the door and showed me exactly what it was. I can take you to a little room in a house down by Greencastle, Indiana, Brother Evans' house where he lived at that time, and there was a room there. I can't remember why it was empty. I don't remember, but it was empty. I don't know whether he was doing some work in there, painting or whatever it was, that Brother Evans took me in, and we sat on the floor of that room, and we talked, and I told him what was on my heart. I thought God was calling me, and he said, well, I wondered how long it was going to take you to listen to him. But he had never said anything to me. But I could take you right to that place. I remember that very, very well. I remember then soon after that standing behind the pulpit and get the confirmation of the fact that I was called to preach. Brother Griffiths told me, he said, the best place to find out if you're called to preach is preach. I said, oh my goodness, what have I got myself into? And anyway, so he set up a time for me to preach, and I preached, and God gave me the confirmation in the, over the next two times I preached, one at Brother Griffiths there in Brazil, Indiana, and one at Brother Evans. I went and preached in his church, and God assured me without a shadow of a doubt that I was called to preach. Do I understand all these things? No, no, but it became very special in my life. Eventually, special times, special places in my life. And I think that every one of you today, if you're saved, you ought to be able to go back to that place in your mind's eye and say, I was saved there. That's where I got saved. That's where I got born again. And maybe you remember where you got baptized. That's important. You know where you got baptized. Now Mary Berger there, she got baptized out at Dead Man's Creek or Pond or Lake, whatever. Dead Man's Lake, what it's called. And that's a good place for her to get baptized. She become dead in Christ and raised in newness of life. But I remember doing that very well because Mary was scared to death of water. I mean, she was scared. I'm telling on Mary today, and she don't mind. She's smiling at me. If she was frowning at me, I'd quit. But she's smiling at me, and she was scared to death to get baptized. I mean, scared to death. Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't do this. Yes, you can. Donna got with her and talked to her and told her, yes, you can. You can do it. She went right out there and got baptized. And when she come out of that water, I've never seen a more beautiful smile. I don't know whether it's because she got baptized or just glad to get out of the water. I don't know what it was. But Mary just looked so, had a beautiful smile on her. And boy, she yelled something. I can't remember what it was. Praise the Lord or something. I can't remember what it was. But I remember. But to Mary, I'm sure that's a special place. Amen. I'm sure it is. Because, you know, you go back and you remember those times. Now listen to me, folks. Young people, you listen to me. They ought to be a place when you think about when you got saved. Now, where was it when you got saved? Was you in your bedroom? Was you in your house somewhere, sitting at a table maybe, mom and dad taking the Bible and showing you how to be saved? Was it at a church altar? Where was it when you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You ought to be able to go back to that and remember, this is where I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now, maybe some of you say, Brother Ross, I don't know, remember a time when I gave my all to God. Well, tonight, today would be a good time to do that. You see, you ought to have that time in your life also. You ought to have a time when you've just committed yourself to the Lord and you've given yourself to the Lord for whatever it is he wants. You've just said, God, I'll give myself, I'll do it. Amen. And that ought to be a special time, you see. And it's like I was saying about the time when I did that. You ought to be able to go back and say, I gave my heart to God. Yes, I got saved, but I also gave my life to him. Whatever he wants out of my life, I'm willing to do. Amen. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm doing that today. Whatever God wants of me. Amen. Amen. So you ought to be able to remember back and look back to those special times. And I believe that this became a very special time in the life of Jacob, you see. Now, I want to just talk to you a few moments. And I think most of you know about Jacob and you know about his sin. He got the birthright by a bowl of bean soup. I call it that, lentils. I think they called it in the Bible, but basically it was some kind of bean soup. And that's good stuff, good eating. And the cornbread with it and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, Esau come in and he was so hungry. He'd been out in the field hunting. He was so hungry. And so he said, you give me your birthright and I'll give you a bowl of this. And boy, he traded it. You see, traded it off. He done that. And then later on, he got the blessings off of Isaac. He got the blessing off of Isaac. And Rebekah was in on it. She was a conniver. I don't know if you knew that or not, but for a little while in this, she was a conniver. I know she was a good woman in other ways, but here she was a conniver. She's the one connived all this thing up. And she said, we'll put this goat skin on your hands and on your neck back here. We'll put that. He'll think it's Esau. And he said, you go in and you feed him this savory meat. He was one that loved venison. And she said, I can make this goat just taste just like venison. That's basically what she's saying. I'll take this goat. We'll fix it up. Savory meat. You take it into him. So Jacob become a part of that. He was a deceiver. And so and basically that's what he was at that time. He was a deceiver. And like I say, Rebecca was in on it too. She had a favorite. She liked Jacob better than she did Esau. Now, I didn't say she didn't love Esau, but she liked Jacob. He was her favorite, you see. And so that's what they did, and they got that all conjured up. Well, I just want to tell you something. There's always wages for sin. There always is. I'm thinking about that, and I was thinking about how here come along Esau, and he said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill my brother. Soon as Isaac, my daddy, dies, I'm going to let him live till he dies. And then he said, I'm going to kill him. And so he decided he better get out of there. I want to tell you something. Sin will chase you. Sin will put you on the run. I believe something. I believe God allowed all this to happen to get old Isaac out there by himself, alone with God. And that's what happened. He got out there, and the first night out, there he was, and he made this pillow of rocks. And I just want to tell you something, folks. God's trying to get you by yourself with him. He's trying to get you away from the hustle and bustle of life. You see, so many people don't get saved because they don't take time to get saved. They're too busy. They don't even have time to talk with God or let God talk with them. They're just so busy. They're just in doing the things of life, and they don't take time to just... Well, God has a way of getting you alone sometimes. Sin has its way of driving you to places maybe you don't want to go. I think really that it would probably been a good thing. He probably would have liked to stayed home with mommy and daddy. But sin had come in, and he was being threatened that he was going with his life. And so he took off and supposedly go get a wife, and also fearful of Esau. And he went out there, and all at once out there in that wilderness area, he met God. I believe God does that. I believe God's trying to get us alone. Has God ever got you alone? Has God ever got you to the place where you had to face him? And decide if God's going to be your God or not. That's what happened to Jacob. God was finally going to be his God. Amen. So I'm just asking, has God ever got you alone? Has ever God ever put you in a corner? And you've had to face yourself and realize what you are without God and your need of him. Well, sin is lonely time. It drives you to places you don't really want to be. Amen. But he drove him to a place called Bethel. In verse number 12, he called it Bethel. In verse number 12, he says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. I've entitled this message this morning, The Promises of God and Jacob. God promised Jacob some things, and Jacob promised God some things. So we're going to kind of talk about those a little bit here this morning. But first of all, I just want to talk about this place called Bethel. As I said earlier, I said God will take you sometimes to places where he can get alone with you, put you in a corner. You have no other place to look except up. I've seen a lot of people lay on sick beds. And there they are. They were healthy and seemed to be doing all right. And then all at once they ended up on a sick bed and on their backs looking up. Seemed like God put them there. Because they wouldn't listen. They didn't have time to listen any other time. But you get on a sick bed and you get looking up toward God, you'll find out you've got time to maybe see what it is God wants to talk to you about, you see. Jacob had strayed away from God, but God had not strayed away from Jacob. God is always there. I just want to tell you something. God always loves us. God is always searching for us and seeking us, you see. Always wanting us to come to him, you see. No, we want to run. We want to get away from God. But I want to tell you, God's always there. Always there. No matter, even out here in this old little wilderness out here. Here he was, a lone man out here laying on a bunch of stones for his pillow. And God showed up. See, God knows where you are. You can't hide from God. You may try to run from him, but you can't run from him. You can't hide from him. God is always there. And God knows where we are. So it comes to a place which he called Bethel. And, of course, we talked about that's the house of God. You know, when Jacob got right with God, he called the place the house of God. I just, in passing, I just believe with all my heart, when a person gets right with God, they're going to be in the house of God. And I just believe that. When they're right with God. I don't believe there's any Christian out there that's today, they may say they're saved, and possibility they may be saved, but they're backslidden if they're out of the house of God. House of God is where God wants them, you say. You don't want to get backslidden. You don't want to get away from God. I work hard here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, whether you understand it or not, whether you recognize it or not, realize it or not, but I work hard here trying to keep you right with God so you'll stay close to God. I don't want you backslidden. I want you right with the Lord. Amen. I want you good relationship with Him. I don't want you walk away from Him. You see, He ain't going to walk away from you, but I don't want you walking away from God, getting away from God. That's no good. And basically, that's what Jacob here had done. But as soon as he got right with God, he made a house of God, you see. And I say, do you get right with God? That's the way that lame man in John 3rd chapter did. As soon as he got healed, and that was a picture of his salvation also, believed in God, he got healed. Where'd he go? Well, he went up leaping and praising God, went right into the temple. See, people get right with God and let God lead them. They'll be in the temple. They'll be in the house of God, you see. Amen. Brother Ross, that's good preaching. It's all right, don't get too many amens, but it's good preaching. Just keep talking about it and try to keep people in the house of God. That's where people get saved, go to the house of God. Amen. Amen. Sure they do. That's what they do. They get faithful, you see. But anyway, we find some promises that God made to Jacob. And in verse number 15, he said, and behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. I want you to notice three things here that God told him. First of all, he said, I'm going to be with you. The presence of God was promised. You know what? That old trip that he was about ready to take, someone smarter than I said this was probably about 500-mile trip. Don and I just went down into Richmond, Kentucky. It was about 250 miles down there and 250 miles back. Now, that's a long trip. In that car of ours, it took us 5 hours, at least 5 hours going and 5 hours coming. That's a long trip. So somewhere, he was going to take a trip here, somewhere around. Yeah, I was looking back there, Bobby and them, they was grinning because, you see, they passed us on the way. It didn't take them near as long as it took us. They was heading down to see Bethany. And they passed us two times. You see, they'd stopped for an hour, and then they passed us again. But anyway, it takes a long time to get down there. For us, we older folk, we don't go as fast as these younger folk go. But anyway, God's presence was promised. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about how God has been with us, the presence of God through this life's journey. I thought about how wonderful it is that God's with us. Now, folks, I know sometimes you forget, and I know sometimes you don't realize it, don't understand it, but the presence of God with you every day, every step of the way, is just a wonderful thing. And that's what he said here. He says, and behold, I am with thee. He said, I'm with you, Jacob. Listen, folks, don't you think that promise also is for us today? I'm with you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, may get caught up in all other kinds of things and get busyness of life, but don't you know that God is with you? Boy, isn't that a wonderful thing to know all through life? I mean, even until the end of life, God will be with us. That's a wonderful thing to me. And you don't have to worry about it. You know God is with you. That's what he promised Jacob. He said, the very presence, I'll be with you, Jacob. Amen. Then he also said, I'll keep you. Look, he said, I'm with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Do you know what that word keep there means? Security. It means I'll take care of you. I'll give you direction. Boy, that's a wonderful thing. You know, aren't you glad this morning you have eternal security? In Christ, you don't have to worry about that God's going to just pass you off one of these days and kick you out. Oh, no, it's wonderful, wonderful security that we're the Lord's. And that's what he said, I'll keep you. You can't keep yourself. You can't keep yourself saved. You can't keep yourself, you know, in the will of God. God has to help you do all those things. You ought to be in the will of God. You ought to be saved. But listen, it's God that keeps us. God's wonderful. He's good. And he gives us that security forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Where he is forever, you see. And not only that, it also speaks of direction. God will direct us and keep us and direct us in the way that we should go. Isn't that wonderful? I told a man the other day, I said, don't worry about what God wants you to do. He was talking, he was in a little bit of a hussy. He said, I don't know what to do. I just don't know whether to do this or don't know whether to do that. I said, calm down. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's a promise of God, Psalm 32:8. Why don't you grab a hold of that verse of scripture and just hang on to it? Why are we getting all in a tussy? Don't you think God wants to lead us? Don't you think God wants to give us direction for life? Sure he does. Well, he said, I'll keep you. I'll keep you secure. I'll give you direction of life. Amen. God will do that. Just give him his time. Amen. He'll do that for you, you see. So that's a marvelous thing. Not only God's presence is with us, but also God's protection is with us. But then also, I want to show you something else that God promised him that, again, I'm thankful for. Verse 15. He said, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You know what he said? I'm going to finish the job that I've begun. You know, did you know God is going to finish the job he's begun in you? You know, do you know he's not going to leave it undone? He said to Jacob, he said, Jacob, I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in your presence. I'll be with you in presence. But he said, I want to tell you something else. And I'm going to finish the job. I want to tell you something. God is busy finishing the job with most of us. He's working it out. He has a plan for every single one of us. A plan of God for every one of us. And he's just busy working it out. I guess I would say to you, quit fighting. Just don't fight him. He's got a purpose. He knows what he's doing. He just needs you to yield to him and do his will, because he's going to finish the job. Amen. So just let him do it. I think that's a wonderful thing when God will be with us and his presence will be with us, and he'll watch over us and take care of us, and he isn't going to give up on us. Amen. I can't remember them letters, but I know they used to wear buttons and please be patient with me. God is not finished with me, or something like that. Well, listen, I ought to wear a great big one. God's not done with me. Be patient. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. Yes, he is. No, I don't see any perfect people out there. I don't see anybody that's come to perfection. God's still a working, still a dealing, still working with us, bringing us and doing that which God wants us to do in our life. Listen to him. Don't fight him. Don't fight against him. Don't like be like the clay that fought against the potter. Don't do that. No, don't do that. No, it'd get marred, but then God has to make it again. Amen? All right, God's going to finish the work. And then you also see, here we find that Jacob gave some vows to God. I want you to notice in verse number 20. Excuse me. Verse number 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillow shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. You know, Jacob made some vows also. I might say to you, Jacob was a very immature believer. You know what I really believe? I believe this is where Jacob got saved. He said, you're going to be my God. I think he met God in salvation here. Now, I know I probably can't take the scripture and say, this is where it says he got saved. Doesn't say that. But this is where I believe that Jacob got saved. And so he was very immature, and he had a lot of ifs in his vows that he made to God. And now, you know, God kind of ignored them. Didn't say, just like he ignores a lot of our foolishness, our ifs, as we make our plans and make our vows unto God. You know, if you'll do this, God, I'll do that. God's not impressed. Not a bit. He had already promised what he would do, and God was going to do exactly what he promised to do. Amen. So old Jacob here, he's questioning the fact. And you know, it was God who initiated the exchange here. It was God who came to him and began to talk to him, you know. And so Jacob was saying all of these things. But I want to show you one of the things. He says in verse 21, he says, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. He said, I tell you what, if all this takes place, he said, God, you're going to be my God. And I believe at this point is where he decided that God was going to be his God, and this is where he truly met the Lord to be his God. And I just happen to believe that. And so I believe he was a promise. When you say God's going to be my God, it was a promise of worship. In other words, who am I going to worship? I'm going to worship God. He's going to be my God. No, not one of these old false cults out here is going to be my God. No. God, the true, the living God. When I talk to God in my prayer, I always talk to him about he's the true, he's the living God. He's the one, the only God. He's the gracious, good, and kind God. There isn't any other. Amen? No, there isn't any other God. And the old world becomes that which we become. We kneel and bow at its altars. But we need to worship God, the true, the living God. Amen. Jacob said, I'll worship you. Not only that, in verse 22, he said, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. I believe he was dedicating himself to faithfulness. You know, we have in this church, in all seriousness, we have a lot of faithful folk. I come in here on Sunday morning, and I can just pretty well tell you who's going to be here. A certain group of people just going to be here. You know why? They're faithful. Oh, I know there's things that come up. Sometimes they can't. I know all those things. But you know, basically, they're going to be here. They're just going to be faithful to God. I think that's what Jacob was doing. He was promising his faithfulness to God Almighty. That's important. If some of you younger ones haven't come to that place yet, or some of the other ones in the congregation haven't come to that place yet, well, just be faithful. That's important to God. It's important to him. Amen. It's important that you be faithful. And I think Jacob was saying, I'm just going to be faithful, you see. And then in verse number 22, he also promised, he said, in God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. Jacob also not only promised to worship him, and he not only promised to be always there, just be faithful to God, but he promised also to be a giver. You know what he said? He said, God, whatever you give me, now he said, whatever you give me, he said, I'm going to give you back a tenth. It's a right, proper thing to do. Boy, if you young people, if you listen to this preacher, I'll give you one of the greatest things I can give you. I don't care how much you make. If you make a dime, give a penny. If you make a dollar, give a dime. Now, you'll get where you grow, and you'll give more than that. You'll give more than a tenth. You'll give some offerings. But you see to it that you tithe, and everything that God gives you, you tithe. And then when you get up and ready, older, you won't have to fight that battle. You're trying to take care of a family, and trying to say, well, I can't afford to tithe yet. You know, you can't afford not to tithe. You give a tenth of everything that God gives you. You give a tenth back to him in God's house. Now, you always do that. You make that a habit, a practice of your life. Don't you not do that. I say that to adults. I told you earlier, this preacher cares for you. I care what happens to you, and I want God's blessings on your life. Now, you give your tenth. It's right. It's proper. It's what God would want you to do. You give the tenth. Don't be a taker all the time. Be a giver. Learn to give. Had people tell me before, you know, dear, and it's true, some dear widow ladies can't hardly make it. I'm serious about that. They can't hardly make it, but they can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. And I know it's tough. I know it's hard. Some families have a difficult time. They don't make a whole lot, and they have a difficult time. I understand all that, but you need to tithe. You want God's blessing on your life. You need to tithe. A tenth. That's what Jacob said he would do. Now, we was doing okay when we promised to worship. We was doing all right when we promised to be faithful. How about tithing? We need to give God a tenth of what God gives to us. And that's what he said. Whatever you give me, I'm going to give a tenth back to you. Testimony, I can testify to you. It works. We did that. Many years decided that. Years ago, decided to do that. We've done it year after year after year. God is blessed. I've seen God miraculously take care of this preacher and his wife and family. I've seen God do it. Why? Just to be faithful. Not because he just wants to do it. He loves us and wants to do it. You get the tithing. God will take care. You're ensuring your future. Now, you want to rob God. You rob of him, and you're not ensuring your future. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just simply saying that to you. I'm trying to be kind to you, trying to help you. Jacob said, I'm going to give a tenth of whatever I get. I'm going to give a tenth to God. Now, this preacher's just saying that you ought to do that. Why? For the benefit of the church? Your benefit. Being obedient to the Lord, you see. And there's so many I could teach on Malachi. Go back to Malachi, the third chapter, and you see where God says if you don't tithe, he'll turn the devourer loose. Why is it you're having so many troubles in your finances? Why can't you get everything right? Well, he turns the devourer loose. I'm just saying to you, tithe. Give your tenth. Why? Because God said to. You don't have to get back and you don't have to say, well, the preacher said to. No, you just say God said to, and that's why I'm going to do it. That's way back when we got saved. That's the only reason I done it, because the preacher preached it, but I said, you know, God wants me to give it. I'm going to give it. I done it because God wanted me to. Preacher was just the one that was telling me what I should do. Amen. He wasn't afraid to do it. Neither am I. Y'all tithe. Y'all give your tenth. Amen. See, why? For your benefit, folks. For your benefit. Yes, for the benefit of God's work, but for your benefit. You ought to tithe. That's what Jacob said he would do. And then, of course, there was Jacob's ladder. We're not going to spend a lot of time on Jacob's ladder. But it's a wonderful thing, wonderful illustration there. And you see where the angels was ascending and descending and up on the ladder. You know, there is the work. I'm not going to preach on that this morning, and thank God. But the angels, there is angels. I mean, there are angels. There is. There's angels that minister to the saints. Oh, yes, there are. I have a feeling there's some angels present this morning. You know what? I've got to study it all out, but you know what I believe? I believe every one of us has an angel. I believe every one of us has a guardian angel. Now don't you go out here and say, but Brother Ross is teaching heresy. It's something I believe. I believe it. When I get in a car and with somebody that drives recklessly, I believe I got an angel. And sometimes I need it. I've got an angel when things happen, you know. I've seen God so many times take care of me. I know it's God doing it, but I think he appoints somebody over that business. I've seen so many times it could have been killed, could have been injured, could have been hurt. You have to. And God took care of you. You see, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, you see. So it's God's watchful care over us. God's standing at the top of this ladder, looking down there at Jacob, laying his head there on that old stone. There's God at the top of the ladder, saying, Jacob, I love you. I care for you. I love you. Of course, I believe that one of the pictures, that ladder, certainly could be a picture of Jesus Christ, the way to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? God's got a way to heaven. God's got a way from down here, from man, to get to heaven, to him. And in here, it's kind of pictured as a ladder, but it's a way to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There's no other way. Amen. Amen. Show you one other thing, and then I'll close, but I want you to go over to Genesis 35th chapter of Genesis. Now I want to tell you something, folks. The comfort that God gives us in, with his presence with us, is a marvelous thing. I've sat in hospital rooms with people and getting ready to face serious surgery, and it seems like just a calmness just comes over them, and they say, you know, I'm not worried. Oh, I know. I kind of dread the surgery, but it seems like God has come and just fellowshiped with me and give me comfort, peace. That's God. I want to show you in the 35th chapter, verse 7. He says, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Looking back to this same place, and you notice Jacob here calls it El Bethel. The difference is this. You have Beth-El means the house of God. But you put Beth on the front of that, it's the God of the house of God. Now I want to tell you, Jacob got real serious. All at once he wasn't just looking at a place or a heap of rocks or some place. He was looking to the God of the house of God. If there's anything I could say to you this morning, oh, look to the God of the house of God. You know, you say, Brother Ross, we're going to the house of God this morning. We know what you mean. We're coming over here to meet and do all those things. But I want to tell you, the God of the house of God is what's important. Amen. And if you follow Jacob's life, I'm not going to spend the time to do that, you'll find it goes back to Bethel. Sometimes people's life, they get so busy, it's just the house of God. It isn't the God of the house of God. Amen. And then there's places where it even goes back to Beth, just the house. Just becomes a house. Come to the church house, just becomes a house. The temple of the Holy Spirit of God, the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, just becomes a house. It's not the house of God anymore. Just a house. And in one place in the scripture, it talks about Beth Avon. You know, I knew a church named Beth Avon, Baptist Church. But the funny part about that is Beth Avon means the house of emptiness, the house of vanity. Avon means emptiness. Some people began at El Bethel and come down to Beth Avon, the house of emptiness. Well, I just want to tell you something. We have a wonderful God, and you better keep him at the first of the house of God. You better keep it El Bethel, God of the house of God. Who is the house of God? You and I are. Now, we're the real house of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And who's important is God Almighty. Amen. So you remember that Jacob vowed some vows to God. God vowed some to him. Well, there's no doubt about what God was going to do. He was going to keep his. Would Jacob keep his? Would you and I keep the vows we've made? Will we keep the vows we've made? Has there been times when you vowed to God you would do this or that and you walked away from that? Better get back to it. God has not forgot it. Better get back to it. But the most important thing you can do this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been born again, you've never been saved, this would be a great day for you to just walk this aisle, come forward, and just let us take the Bible, the Word of God, and show you how to be born into God's family, be saved. When I said to you earlier about looking back on the day that you were saved, could you do that? Could you go back with assurance that there was a time, a place where you asked Christ to save your soul? And you know you're saved this morning. You know you're God's child. You're born again. If not, wouldn't this be a good time? And then you can look back on this time this morning and say, I got saved here on this day. On, I think it's the 21st, I believe it's 21st of September, 2003. I got saved there at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It'd be a great day. Amen. You ought to set a time, set a day when you got saved, born into God's family. Then if you've never, ever given your whole life to God, say, God, here I am. I just want to give myself to you, whatever you want. Whatever you want for my life, I'm here. I'm giving it to you. I'm committing myself to you today. If you haven't done that, you ought to do that this morning. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank again today for your grace and goodness. I pray this morning, Father, that you'll just take this simple message and use it to your glory, your honor. I pray, Lord, should there be those without Christ, not sure that they could go back to a time in their life and realize there was a time and a place when they were saved. Oh, God, let this be the place. Let this be the time this morning. And I pray also for those, Lord, who've given themselves to you completely, fully, said, I'll devote myself to your calling, your will for my life, no matter what. And they've walked away from that. Oh, God, help them come back this morning. And then, Father, maybe some have never done that, but it'd be a great thing this morning. Just commit themselves to you. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please.